WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media
ABC
app.
News, I'm Andy Field. Schools put on lockdown after a mass shooting in Farmington, New Mexico.
Be advised, I got several people down. I've got three vehicles that are... I got three people that are dead as well.
Police radio from Broadcastify. Two officers were among several others wounded. Police say they shot and killed the gunman. In Fairfax, Virginia, police say a man with a metal bat walked into the regional office of Congressman Jerry Connolly, asked for him, and attacked two staffers. One hit in the head. Both were taken to the hospital. Connolly was not there. Fairfax Police Sergeant Lisa Gardner.
We do have the suspect in custody at this time.
A special prosecutor has ended his four-year investigation into possible FBI misconduct while it looked into possible connections between Russia and Donald Trump's 2016 presidential campaign. No charges were filed, although the investigator criticizes the FBI. It is well short of what former President Trump called the crime of the century. This is ABC News. More U.S. servicemen along the border despite fewer than expected migrants crossing into the U.S. Defense Department Press Secretary Brigadier General Patrick Ryder confirming today 550 active duty U.S. troops arrived at the southern border over the weekend to help Customs and Border Protection officers.
The predominant number of those troops, as I understand it, are in El Paso. Although CBP ultimately will be the ones to determine their disposition since they're there to support CBP.
The stories behind the songs.
On the road again.
Have you ever wondered exactly why Willie Nelson just can't wait to get on the road again? And what inspired that song and his countless other hits? A new book will get into all of that. It's called Energy Follows Thought, The Stories Behind My Songs, which will tell the backstory of 160 Nelson tunes.
Whiskey River, take my mind.
From the big hits to the deep cuts. The book will also feature previously unseen photos and stories about his collaborations. You can read it starting October 31st. Jason Nathanson, ABC News.
Andy Field, ABC News.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matinere. Here's what you need to know. A teacher at a Grafton middle school was arrested on Friday for making threats against students after a student found a piece of paper with swastikas on it. The teacher at John Long Middle School is Jewish and admitted to making threatening statements to students because he was angry. The teacher, who among other things told students he owns 17 guns, has not been identified. Gas prices are higher than last week, but still lower than 1 month ago. Average prices in Wisconsin are 20 cents lower than last month, nearly 90 cents a gallon lower than this time last year. Industry analysts say barring a disaster, prices should stay below $4 a gallon in the coming weeks. And Poinette native Ashley Hagenow earned the title of Alice in Dairyland over the weekend. I'm Jane Matinere. This is Civic Media News.
Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hey, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out. Because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
If I could be you,
And you could be me?
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
Paul or CafeLatte.com.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Because all the hippies are trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade, which means distant thunder. And my colonized name is Robert Pilot, and we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Haley, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
You're right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by Minnesota 350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Yes, they are. And they're even an organization, too, Haley. Oh, hey, we got one of our, a good friend here that's I've known for quite a few years, Misko, and we're going to talk a little bit about what she does. But first, we're going to talk a little bit about powwow etiquette, because it's that time of year. Welcome, Misko.
Bonjour. So I'm just going to introduce myself really quick in my language. So Buju and Dinawe Maganidu Misko Gimiwana Dijinakas Makondo Dame Waswaganegnin Dunjaba. Hello my relatives. My name is Misko Gimiwan. I'm Bear Clan from Lac de Flambeau, Wisconsin. My family is also from Sistin, South Dakota. I am a fancy shawl and jingle dress dancer, and I teach both dance styles down at the Indian Center. But yeah, thank you for having me on today.
It's great to see you, Misko, and you're out in a beautiful day here in Minnesota. And just give a shout out to our relatives in Wisconsin. It's really pretty here, and it's nice and beautiful here. Misko, I'm so happy to be on, and I know over the years we've talked about, powwows and etiquette, and I always believe like our listeners and a lot of our white allies out that are listening want to know in a good way how they could join in and come to a powwow, because as you know, powwows are for everyone. So it's exciting to have you here, and we can talk a little bit about proper etiquette with anyone that shows up to a powwow.
Yeah. And so I guess one misconception that people have is that powwows are Native only, and these are actual social events where everyone is welcome to come and enjoy our dancing, our artists, to enjoy our food and to, you know, bring good company. And so, again, like, we do welcome everyone to come to powwows, but there are some things that it's really important to, like, know before you come. And so I guess the main thing that I would start off with is to be respectful of other people's space, of other people's property. You know, you wouldn't want to go up to a dancer and just start taking pictures. You know, you might want to ask, hey, is it okay if I take a picture with you, or if I take a picture of you? Because, you know, in regular public, you wouldn't want someone to come up with you with a camera. You know, sometimes we're just walking with our lemonade and our friends, and we're just trying to, you know, you know, enjoy the sun. So again, just ask questions if you want to take pictures of somebody or of their regalia. You know, normally it is okay to take pictures of dancers when they're in the arena because it's more of an open space while we're dancing. You know, when we're dancing, we think in a good way and we, you know, dress ourselves up to the best. So, you know, sometimes it is nice to have our picture taken while we're out in the arena dancing, but outside of the arena, you know, when we're just with our family or with our friends, you know, it is really respectful to ask, hey, can I take your picture? Another thing is to not go into the arena if not advised. So one thing is to listen to the MC or the arena director or the person who's on the mic. They're announcing everything that's going on. And so sometimes there will be specific dance categories dancing. So like say men's traditional, only the men's traditional dancers are supposed to be out there. But other times we have inner tribals, which are where everyone is welcome to come, whether you're in regalia, whether you're not in regalia, whether you're native, non-native, it's open for everyone to come out and to dance and enjoy the music. Yeah. Do you have any comments or anything of what I said so far?
No, Misko, that's great. And you know what I was thinking too, a lot of people don't understand. And I think thing that I would like to bring up is please, whenever you see a native, don't ask to touch their hair. I mean, that's kind of a thing. And we feel like it's a derogatory. We're little animals and things like that. So it's hard not to because of our beautiful hair. And I know mine's standing out, but it was beautiful at one time, Misko. Really, it was.
I believe you. I seen it back then. But, you know, going off of that, too, another thing is our beautiful dance regalia. So a lot of the things we wear are handmade. Everything we wear is handmade. You know, it's not something that you can go out and buy from a factory. Maybe the fabric that we use is manufactured, but we, you know, put our art and we hand make everything that we wear. And so, again, it is very disrespectful to go up to someone and grab their hair, grab their beaded pieces, grab their shirt, grab anything that's an article of clothing that they're wearing. Like, we get that it's beautiful and you want to, like, tell us, oh, this is really beautiful, but you know, it's different to go up and touch it, and it's different to just ask, hey, can I touch this? And, you know, they might say no, they might not feel comfortable, because the things that we wear holds energy. And when we make something, whenever I create something, I put my love, my energy, and good intentions into that beadwork. And, you know, if someone is carrying negative energy or, you know, they're just unaware, they might touch it and, like, it will hold that energy. And so that's another, like, reason why we wouldn't want people to come up and just, you know, touch our things or grab it. It's good to admire and it's good to ask, but again, just be respectful of our space and of who we are.
Yeah, and it's a really good point. And it kind of sounds ridiculous that we're even talking about this, but it is a thing. It really, yes. really is, right?
Mm-hmm. I've experienced it with people coming up and taking pictures. It's like, if I was aware, you know, I might say, yeah, you can take a picture of me, but just to have like a camera shoved in my face or to someone come and grab an article of clothing that I'm wearing, it feels invasive, like, you know.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Hey, how many powwows do you think you dance in a year? Have you ever figured that out? Roughly a couple a month, that'd be 24. I know it's a lot more than that. How many do you think you've done in this past year?
There's a lot of like smaller powwows that I, you know, attend, you know, throughout our community in the Twin Cities area, you know, school powwows, community powwows. And then there are also larger outside tribal powwows that I go to. And so it kind of depends on the year, you know, if I have the means and if I have the energy to go and travel, you know, 3, 4, 5 hours to a powwow. I'll be out there every weekend in the summertime. So yeah, there's a powwow every single weekend, but during the school year, it slows down a lot. So I haven't counted, but I think the most big powwows I've gone to in one summer is probably like 8, 9, or 10. And there was one week where I left on a Friday. I did the weekend powwow, and then there was a weekday powwow. I didn't come back till the next Friday. And it's just super fun. I know. It's amazing to travel and to meet people and to be able to watch other people dance and then express myself through my dancing.
There's so many other dances going on too, you know, like the couples dance, but I know in years past you and whoever, your partner or friend, you are like the defending potato dance, head dancer. Can you tell our audience what that all entails?
Yeah, so there's a couple different like couple dances, and they kind of dance usually to like the beat of a sidestep. So it's like din 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 din. And so for the potato dance, it's about, I guess, coordination and teamwork. And so what we do is we have a potato. It's literally a potato dance for the potato. You have a potato and you put it in between your forehead, and you guys have to balance it there with each other's forehead. So it's kind of an intimate dance, I guess. And then we also have to follow, you know, what the MC says. So they'll say, touch the ground. So then you and your partner will have the potato. You'll have to go down and touch the ground, or you'll have to spin or jump or go on one leg. And so it's a really fun, like, little challenge to do with, like, a partner that you have. You can either do it with, you know, a partner, a friend, a relative. And it's just a super fun dance to get involved in.
It is. And it's fun to watch, too. That's one of those things that's really fun. Misko, I want to talk about your art when it comes up to the next segment here. We're winding down here, but I'm with Misko. And, you know, just I know the community here in Minnesota is so proud of you. You're one of the young ones that is going to be a big leader someday. And so I'm really been blessed to watch you grow and become the person that you are. So And it's fun, too, because you're coming on the last minute, and you're golden. So let's have you up next. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex, recording sexual acts without permission, hurting someone because of their sexual orientation, ripping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger. Purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
No one should have to choose between a paycheck and their health. Whether it's for a new baby, an unexpected illness, or an aging parent, Minnesotans deserve time to care for themselves and their families. That's why Minnesota Democrats are fighting for all working people to have paid family and medical leave. The time is now. Contact your legislator and tell them to pass paid family and medical leave for Minnesota. Learn more at paidleavemn.org. That's paidleavemn.org, paid for by the Minnesota AFL-CIO.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Students at participating Twin Cities high schools can get a summer's worth of rides on buses and light rail for just $30 with a summer student pass. From June 1st through September 5th, students can get unlimited rides on buses and trains up to a $3.25 fare. For a list of participating schools and to purchase a pass, visit metrotransit.org/summer-student-pass. Again, that's metrotransit.org/summer-student-pass.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we're here with Misko, who I see all over the community. She works in the community. She dances in the community. And one of the things I think it's hard to know this, you're an artist in the community. And I know that just because I know you and I see whether it's T-shirts, whether it's regalia, whether it's medallions. And I know you can paint, too, just from knowing you from years past. You're just an all-around artist. I want to talk about, one, Native art and what appropriation is. And then also, you know, what you do and what kind of art you do.
Yeah, and so I've been attending Augsburg University for the past 3-ish years. And so I've taken like Native art classes, and just being a Native artist and learning, you know, traditional Ojibwe and Dakota styles of art, and then also moving that on to contemporary styles such as like digital art or videography or stuff like that. And also creating like contemporary clothing with the traditional designs that we have. It's kind of hard to explain what Native art is, but at the end of the day, it's just art made by an indigenous or Native artist. You know, it doesn't have to like look like what it did 100 years ago. Our art has like evolved and changed just as much as our cultures and our societies have changed, and we've evolved to adapt to the kind of, you know, materials that we have today, and also the things that we use and we need in, you know, our modern day times. You know, back then we would use quills. Over time, we were introduced to new art mediums and, you know, materials. And so that's why our art has always changed. But the meaning behind these things and the intention and the creativity and, you know, how it ties back to our families, how it ties back to our identities has never changed. And so to me, that's what it means to be a Native artist, is to use what I've learned through traditional teachings, as well as using it to, you know, give it a new meaning or use it in a new medium to give a new message for whatever we're trying to make a message about.
You know, what's interesting too, and while you were talking, I was thinking about this too. Native art is more than just some kind of painting and you throw a teepee in there. We're artists just like everybody else. And I know we express our ways in Native art, but we also are artists that are Native.
Yeah. And so I guess what I was going with that, it's no matter what kind of art you do, whether you're creating things with metal, painting, digital art, creating videos, even like having a radio show, no matter what we do, we're Native. And at the end of the day, any art that we create is Native art. It doesn't have to be marketed as Native art just because it has a teepee, but just because it was made by an Indigenous artist. And that's how we express ourselves as an Indigenous person.
Exactly. Hey, let's back up a little bit. And I know I just kind of got a text at the same time I was introducing you, so I kind of lost my mind. What I'd like to talk to you a little about, and you and I have worked together, and there's a thing called appropriation. And we run into that all the time. And I know one of the things with our store, and then you were managing the store when it was down in Dayton's, is that we could tell everybody that came into that store who made the product or where this product came from. And that's a question that people should ask whenever they see Native art. Don't you agree?
Yeah, I totally agree. And it's kind of the same thing as like back in the day with our beaded designs. You could tell which family made which regalia, what family that person belongs to, just based off of the how they beaded, the designs they beaded, the colors they used. And that's similar to today with our art, is we can look at an artist and be like, oh yeah, I know that's this person because, you know, the way that they drew it, or the neon colors they used, or the traditional colors that they used. And so, yeah, I 100% agree with that.
Right. And not only that, I think there's beaded things that come from China. And one of the things, I think you do this, Misko, but I know like your friend Nolan does, is make a mistake inside the beading so people know that it's real and not done on a machine. Is that correct?
Yeah. And another teaching with that, so it's called a spirit bead. You add one thing to make it imperfect because, you know, we're humans. The only thing, I guess, that would be considered perfect would be the creator. But we're just human, and so we got to humble ourselves and humble our artwork. So when we're creating something, you add a spirit bead in there just to give us a reminder that we're not perfect and nothing we make is perfect. So not to say don't strive for perfection, but just be okay with any mistakes that you make in your art, in life, and in anything.
Yeah, well, that's a great way to live, but it's also for our people out there that are listening, it's a good thing to check, because it's like I've run into things that are called native inspired. And really what that means to us is native stolen. And I'll be that harsh, but that's the truth. And I know we had a booth, and we will again at the Minnesota State Fair. There was appropriation running rampant, and we were fighting appropriation one T-shirt at a time.
No, yeah, that's really tough, because then, you know, people do, like, so I usually tell people buy native made, not native inspired, because those designs or those ideas or those, however they were inspired by natives, you could just as easily go support a native artist. And instead of supporting something that's manufactured and can be made 100 times, the things that we make are one of a kind. You know, we could replicate something, but in some way, that piece of art will be different than the one that we previously made. And so it's really important to, buy from our native artists, just because, you know, if you buy a pair of earrings or if you buy a shirt, that could be their next meal. Or, you know, if you buy multiple things from them, you know, that funds their lifestyle. It just doesn't go to like a big manufacturer where it's just a number and it's just a profit where they can create something. And then, you know, like a corporation, it's like, it's right. More personal and it's more important to buy native made, because I don't know, it's better that way.
Well, Misko, I want to, because we've talked now for a couple segments here and you've been on the show a bunch of times over the years, I want you to tell our audience how old you are.
Oh yeah, I'm 22 years old. Oh yeah, and then I guess I can go just a little bit into where I started my art. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's cool. Okay. I just want people to know, how young you are and how intelligent and how poised you are. And I think that's just important for me to let our audience know. That's why I asked you how old you are. I know it's rude to ask a woman how old they are, but I didn't want to start out in the beginning and go, we're here with a 22-year-old. And I didn't know you were 22. I thought you were a little younger, but that's cool, because everybody's getting old but me, I remember you when you were a sophomore in high school. So yeah, we've gone a long way back. But yeah, go ahead, Misko.
Yeah, so I started dancing and getting interested in being out in the PAL arena when I was about 16 or 17 years old. And so it's really hard to get a dance regalia if your family doesn't dance or you don't really know a lot about it. And so I'm so grateful for my community, because there was a few community members that we have who put together a drum and dance group. And so I would go there like every Tuesday just to be around the drum and to listen to the songs, as well as I put myself in a sewing class so that I can learn how to sew. Because, now that I'm an artist and now that I know how much work and how much effort goes into creating a dance regalia, it's understandable on why the prices are the way they are. But if you're able to go out and learn how to make regalia, there's so much videos and so much resources, or even go to your community and ask someone, hey, how do I make this? Can I trade you my time in this for you to teach me how to make this? And that's a lot of how I learned a lot of the things that I know today, is just by giving them my time in return for giving me teachings. So either I help them do something, I help them garden, I help them sew, I help them literally with anything that I have, and in return they give me teachings. And I've learned so much through different Native youth organizations. I worked on a farm at Dream of Wild Health. I was also in the chemical dependency prevention program at ADY. And then from being in these youth organizations, I wanted to work into these organizations and learn as much as I could so I can pass on what I've learned and continue to learn and continue to grow. And so yeah, once I started dancing when I was about 17, 18 years old, I made my first regalia. And then from there, I just kept making regalia. I learned how to bead. I made friends in the Native art community and just got super inspired by them, would hang out with them. And also other elders would have beading sessions with them. And just I just learned so much by just being there and, you know, doing things and just going out and doing it. And another thing, it's just never too late to go out and do it.
A fresh approach to finding common ground in the Fox Valley. This is Civic Media. Civic Media.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. Schools put on lockdown after a mass shooting in Farmington, New Mexico.
Be advised, I got several people down. I've got three vehicles that are... I got three people that are dead as well.
Police radio from Broadcastify. Two officers were among several others wounded. Police say they shot and killed the gunman. In Fairfax, Virginia, police say a man with a metal bat walked into the regional office of Congressman Jerry Connolly, asked for him, and attacked two staffers. One hit in the head. Both were taken to the hospital. Connolly was not there. Fairfax Police Sergeant Lisa Gardner.
We do have the suspect in custody at this time.
A special prosecutor has ended his four-year investigation into possible FBI misconduct while it looked into possible connections between Russia and Donald Trump's 2016 presidential campaign. No charges were filed, although the investigator criticizes the FBI. It is well short of what former President Trump called the crime of the century. This is ABC News.
Oh, now, wait until you pull up to the stop-and-go light. But when you do, go ahead and save the Civic Media station to one of your presets. The Cripes Cast with me, Charlie Behrens, and also on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Police, fire, and sheriff's departments are short-staffed all over Wisconsin. Negotiations on the state budget this week could determine whether that will get better. Jim Palmer is head of the Wisconsin Professional Police Association. He's pleading for at least adequate funding.
If the quality of public safety in any community diminishes, so does, you know, the value of everything else that community can provide.
Palmer was on Upfront yesterday. The issue is especially crucial for Milwaukee and Milwaukee County, where funding for public safety may be put to referendums. The graduating class at the University of Wisconsin in Madison Saturday was the biggest in the school's history. UW awarded 7,826 degrees in all. Former U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder gave the keynote speech. In sports, the Brewers are at St. Louis tonight. Freddie Peralta starts for Milwaukee. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Bonkers Saloon in Manitowoc salutes America's armed forces and all of our military veterans for the sacrifices they've made. Our troops are our angels of freedom and our wings of protection, fighting to defend our country. We honor our warriors for their dedication and bravery, as well as our veterans and those who've given their lives in the line of duty. They are America's true heroes. This tribute from Bonkers Saloon in Manitowoc. We live in the land of the free, thanks to the brave.
Hello? I'm a Marine.
No matter how you served.
My buddies from the Army are all gone now. I'm really alone.
No matter what you're going through.
I keep getting calls about the bills, and I'm trying to get a job. I feel so stuck.
We are here for you. If you or a veteran in your life is experiencing thoughts of suicide, dial 988, then press 1 to reach the Veterans Crisis Line.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting. A teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Moving Day, a walk for Parkinson's, is happening around the country. Together we can unite in the fight against Parkinson's disease in a safe but exciting and fun way. So let's get moving. Join the Parkinson's Foundation to learn more and register at movingdaywalk.org.
Which is a savings of $40 and take $75 off an air duct cleaning. Make sure to mention you want the AM950 special. Zero res, backward or forward spells the same.
Many car dealers will quote safety stats, but firsthand experience really tells the story. When I bought my 2017 Sienna from Rudy Luther Toyota, the service manager told me it was one of their safest vehicles ever made. Then I saw it for myself. A car hit me at 35 miles per hour, and the Sienna saved me. Its design absorbed the collision, and although it took a wallop, I walked away, and I now have a 2022 Sienna. When it comes to safety, I personally vouch for Toyotas. Be safe and get one today at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lilia. Clear tonight with a low of 55, then sunshine Tuesday with a high of 83. Cafe Latte is unlike any restaurant you've ever experienced. Grab a tray and pick from their award-winning selections of soups, salads, sandwiches, and mouth-watering desserts. Cafe Latte, Victoria Street and Grand Avenue in St. Paul, or cafelatte.com.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Development Institute, Minneapolis.
Yes, they are, right on Franklin Avenue in the Twin Cities. Hey, we're here with Misko, and we've kind of hijacked her. I only told her she'd be on two segments, and now she's on three segments. But it is really cool to hear from a young person's heart, point of view what's going on, because we talk a lot, Misko, about how we've lost language, how we've lost culture to boarding schools and lost generations. And I know I have many guests on that are my age that are so proud of the youth that are bringing this back. And I feel like you and your friends are those people that are making us old ones really happy and look forward to the future. And I just want to say that, Pinigigi Misko, for doing everything in a good way.
And right back at you with, we wouldn't have the sense of pride and the sense of wanting to learn if it wasn't for the older generations instilling that in us. You know, I was always told, you guys are the next one to be running this program. You guys are the next ones to be carrying on, you know, the language. And it's true. Like, I've grown up a little bit and I've learned, like, that is 100% true. And so I hope I can do that for the next generation as well as make you guys as proud as I can.
Yeah, and you have. And I want to kind of circle back to what you were talking about. You know, I talk a little bit about this, but I'm an adoptee that was gone for a long, long time and have just come back. And I think there's a story to be told, even you dancing at an older age. What's your feeling about, you know, our adoptees and people that maybe weren't brought up with our ways? Talk a little bit about that.
So I guess from my personal experience in, you know, not having so much language, so much culture in the household, and that was due to boarding schools and through the loss of language and the loss of community and culture. But also, I was so blessed that I was able to grow up in the St. Paul, Minneapolis community, where we do have so many resources on how to get reconnected. You know, we have community events and a lot of things like that. And so I wasn't adopted, so I feel like I can't speak too much about that. But as someone who is now in the community and I go to events and I meet so many people, to hear that, like, oh, I was adopted and I, you know, never learned much growing up and I don't really know. Well, I welcome everyone with open arms and I'm just saying, come here, come learn, you know, get into these programs. You know, you're 100% welcome, whether you grew up with it or not. There's always a space for you. You know, if you're Native, you're Native. So just learn who you are. Go to your communities. I know sometimes it may be rough trying to get in, but, you know, just keep trying, keep being persistent. And it's important to know who you are. You know, once I started learning more about my culture and my identity as an Indigenous woman, it made it, like, fulfilled me. It kind of gave me a life path of, like, hey, this is what I'm meant to do here. You know, not everyone's meant to be a dancer. Not everyone's meant to, you know, do certain things. But, like, there's so many things we can learn, so many things we can do, so many people to meet. And, you know, don't knock your chances before you try it. And so, yeah, just to say, it's, come out into the community, come learn. There's a lot of events that we have down at the Indian Center, as well as other Native orgs here that we put on. And so it's really good to go out and meet people. And yeah, a lot of people are welcoming, you know.
Definitely. I think one of the things, though, I want to kind of back up just a second, Misko. And one of the things with Ancestry.com and all these 20, 23andMes, people find out maybe they have a little native blood. And what you need to do, though, I feel, and you can comment on this too, is walk slowly, come gently. Don't come in and, you know, if you find that out, find out who your family is. You know, I tell my Hinu and Weeha, I say when, and this is not an insult, when people say, I'll go to Misko or I'll say to Haley, who are you? And I respond and my children respond, well, I'm Ho-Chunk and I am in the Eagle Clan. My family's the McKees. My Gaga, which is grandma, was Helen McKee. And my great-grandfather was, you know, Howard McKee Jr. And great-great-grandfather is Howard McKee Sr. And when you tell that to another Ho-Chunk, for instance, they know that family name. They know, and they'll be more welcoming. So try and find that out, right, Misko?
Yes, most definitely. Because it is important to trace back to who you are and where you come from and your family. Because, you know, a lot of times I do run into people and they're like, oh, I'm this. But it's kind of hard because it's like, do you really know where you're from? And I don't mean that in a bad way, but it's just, do you know what I'm trying to say, Pilot?
Right. Well, what you're trying to say is that there's a lot of people that find out either they heard in their family or they found out through ancestry, but a lot of times it's they hear through their family that their great-great-great-great-grandma was a Cherokee princess. And I wish I had a nickel for every time I heard that, because one, Cherokees don't have princesses, and two, it, you know, and I've heard people say that they're Blackfeet too, and you know, they can't back it up in a sense by saying, well, my, you know, my grandfather was this person or that. They just say that they heard it. And there's many, many people, when I grew up, whether they were stars, like Elvis said he was part Cherokee, and that was never found out. There's all these stars, Johnny Cash said he was part Native, things like that, that came out at the end that they weren't Native. And we call that pretendians, and that's a real thing in the Native community. And I know there's people out there pretending on purpose and know they're not Native, getting grants, working for colleges, and making decisions for true Native people of this land. And so there's a whole plethora of things if you don't know and can't say where you're from, because one, if you're lying, you'll be found out. Don't you agree?
Yeah, again, too, with what you were saying about how they go out and get these grants and get these things for being Native, it just really sucks, because those are opportunities for Natives. You know, we have always had the lower hand. We've never had, like, great enough opportunities. And so once we have these spaces that are meant for Native people, it just really sucks that they're being taken over by pretendians or people who just want to capitalize off of that, those opportunities.
Right, exactly. And so find out who you are, who you're related to, who you're married to, and I guess to back up, come in a good way. And I know in the Twin Cities, for instance, I see it as a welcoming place. I go to powwows, and especially the school powwows. And, you know, like Nolan's mom has all those dresses you can borrow, all those, and you can go and dance. Talk a little bit about that, because that's really important, especially if you don't know how or don't have regalia and you really want to learn how, and especially the young ones. Misko, there you go.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yep.
Uh-oh, I think we lost her.
Wow, that's crazy. Well, that, what did you think there? That's a lot to chew on there, and a lot to learn. And I think, you know, Misko comes in a good way and has also learned, you know, as a younger person, she's learned that there's things that that you have to really ease into. So it's really cool to hear a perspective from from someone young like that knows what's going on. Hey, we got a couple more minutes, Misko. I'm glad you're back. But it's a difficult thing. gone again. Hey, we're gonna do this for the last 3 minutes, Haley. It's a difficult thing to not be brought up with it. It really is.
Right.
And how to act and what to do. And I remember one of my daughters heard the drum for the first time, and it was very emotional, very emotional for her. And it is, right, Haley?
Right. Well, and I can just speak a little bit on that too. You know, like I'm a descendant of Ho-Chunk. You know, my great grandmother Helen was full Ho-Chunk, and I didn't get to grow up around her, unfortunately, because she was an elder when I was a baby. And then when I did get my native name, luckily she was there, which I'm very grateful for that. But I didn't grow up going to powwows, and I didn't honestly grow up knowing a bunch about Native culture at all. But as a kid, I did play outside a lot, and there were, you know, certain Native things that, you know, in my soul that were trying to capture my identity a bit. And I feel like going to a powwow, like last weekend when we went to the school one, the drum is it does hit a heartstring, I think.
Yeah.
But
Yeah. And the singing too, for me, really, really the emotion. And then a lot of times because, women cannot be on the drum, but hearing their voices added to it as they stand behind the men around the drum. And, it's a beautiful thing. And it's something that, I don't take lightly, and I know you don't too, and I know our family doesn't, and or a lot of our family members don't, and especially our immediate ones. And we want to carry ourselves in a good way. And I think it was really important too that Misko talked a little bit about proper etiquette with coming to powwows. People always ask me, can I come? And it's like, sure, you know, you definitely can come. It's just a matter of coming in a good way, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And just learning too about the do's and the nots and how to act at a powwow and how to be respectful and all of that is really important as well.
Right. And the first few times, you know, you should just sit down and listen and soak it all in. And ease into it and participate. They're all over the Twin Cities. I know they're all over Wisconsin. I know they're all over the all over Turtle Island. And definitely come and support. And you know, go to those stands and support true artists. And you know, Misko just touched on it for a second, but you know, people make these things and they live on their art. And so it's a good thing to support. Hey, thanks, Haley, and thanks, Misko. Up next, Wendy Pilot. We'll see you in just a minute. We'll be talking about our sacred animals. This is Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and we'll be right back.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
No one should have to choose between a paycheck and their health. Whether it's for a new baby, an unexpected illness, or an aging parent, Minnesotans deserve time to care for themselves and their families. That's why Minnesota Democrats are fighting for all working people to have paid family and medical leave. The time is now. Contact your legislator and tell them to pass paid family and medical leave for Minnesota. Learn more at paidleavemn.org. That's paidleavemn.org, paid for by the Minnesota AFL-CIO. Students at participating Twin Cities high schools can get a summer's worth of rides on buses and light rail for just $30 with a summer student pass. From June 1st through September 5th, students can get unlimited rides on buses and trains up to a $3.25 fare. For a list of participating schools and to purchase a pass, visit metrotransit.org/summer-student-pass. Again, that's metrotransit.org/summer-student-pass.
When it comes to mental health, connections with others can be a way forward. How do you reach out when you need someone? What do you do to support those who struggle? Whether you're struggling or know someone who struggles, see connections as comfort, hope, and joy. Like sending a text, sharing a moment, offering a hug, seeing an old friend, seeing your grandma. Together we can find ways to create a path forward. Visit cmentalhealth.org. Visit cmentalhealth.org.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1, U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Well, you know what that means. That's our sacred native, sacred animal. We're all sacred. Our sacred animal portion of the show. And Wendy Pilot is coming in. And Wendy, you've been on the show for over 7 years. You talk about a lot of great things. And especially, you've been talking about for a long time our sacred animals and how important they are and how they there are relations. And we have a lot of fun, but we also, I learn so much. So I just want to say, welcome, and Pinigigi, thank you for being on.
Yeah, hi. Hey, everybody. My name is Hanajihihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level. And I'm just going to be talking about a few different things, kind of a plethora of different items here today, but I was just getting my hair done this afternoon. Hey, and yeah, beautiful. I want to talk to you about,
people come up to you all the time and say how beautiful it is.
The woman who was doing my hair today was telling me that she's moving into a new apartment and this, that, and the other thing, but she was telling me a story that her last apartment where she lived required her to have a cat that was declawed. So what she did was, she wanted a cat and she didn't want to declaw the cat, so she went to the shelter and seeked out an already a cat who was already declawed. And the story with her cat was that the cat's previous owners declawed the cat, and then that what happened was the cat really had behavioral issues after it was declawed. And that happens a lot with a lot of different cats. So the cat stopped using the kitty litter box and would pee all over, because, you know, it hurts. It's not just their claw. It's not like a fingernail. It's their whole knuckle that's amputated for this kind of thing. Actually, I'm a humane policy volunteer leader, which means that I work at the legislative at our state capitol with our legislators to try to bring about humane bills. And this was one of the bills that we brought to our state senator and our House representative just this past year, because there's Minneapolis and in St. Paul and other places in Minnesota, renters are required to have their cat declawed or their dog debarked.
What the hell?
Yeah. So anyway, this woman who did my hair said she adopted the cat and he was a super nice cat, but again, he wouldn't use the kitty litter box, but she worked with him for a whole year. Ooh. She finally decided, like she said, I tried every kind of kitty litter. I tried all kind of boxes. I tried all this stuff. Finally, someone said, just put a potty pad, like a potty pad inside the kitty litter without any litter and just do that. And that's what he uses.
So forever now?
Forever now. Yep.
Saving money on
kitty litter.
Wow.
And using like the potty pads that a dog would wee on, right? Wow. And line the kitty litter box with this thing. But, you know, we were just talking about how horrible this law is and that we really need to get this passed here in Minnesota and elsewhere in the United States, because, you know, the landlord is thinking, all right, well, the cat's declawed. It's not going to claw the walls or whatever a cat's going to claw. But look what happened. The cat peed all over the place, which could really make even worse damage, because if you know anything about cat's urine, you can never get it out. It stinks to high heaven. It's a high ammonia smell, and it's just awful.
Oh,
so anyway, that was
debarking a dog.
Isn't that horrible? So again, dogs who are debarked have a lot of behavioral issues that lead to urinating, defecating, chewing, right? Other problems. Dogs are meant to bark. That's what they do.
And be sassy.
And be sassy, yeah. I mean, could you imagine you getting your vocal cords, you know, you'd be angry and you'd lash out in a different way.
Yes.
So I just wanted to talk about that, because I think that was a good, you know, we really had a good conversation about it. And, you know, she thanks the Humane Society of the United States for working on these type of issues, because people don't even know that they exist.
Exactly. I mean, even, you know, a short time, maybe 20 years, I didn't know there was such thing as, you know, puppy mills.
Mm-hmm.
Not at all. I mean, we go to places out in the country and we hear there's 900 dogs
in a puppy mill. Yes, exactly, Robert.
It's
so
just, we're helping people know what's going on.
It's
here.
Just awareness. Yes.
And that's what I say. You've been teaching us all over these years.
Well, I don't know about teaching is the right word. Just
educating,
which is teaching. So anyway, if this is something that's important to you and you do not want to see cats having to be declawed and dogs being debarked to move into an apartment, landlords should be advised that they shouldn't be able to do this. And you could call your legislators and let them know that this is an important subject matter, and let them know that you want, you know, this law put into place, that you do not want these animals maimed, because that's what they are. They're maimed,
right,
these animals. But you know what, Robert? I just want to touch on a couple of other things too. We'll move along. Starting to get hot out. And what do I see when I go into the parking lots now?
Oh,
I see people leaving their dogs in the cars with the windows cracked.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to check the temperature right now and see what it is. All right, 75 degrees right now in St. Paul. It's low humidity, but still, you know, even with the windows cracked in the car, it gets really, really hot in the car. So how hot is your car? Here's just a little, and you can look it up. How hot is my car? How long should I leave my dog in the car? They'll tell you don't leave him in for more than 5 minutes, because it really, really gets bad. So summer temperatures can quickly turn a car into a dangerous hot box.
Mm-hmm.
If you must run errands, leave your pet at home. End of story. So let's just say the outside temperature, and this is with all four windows cracked, and this is a matter of 5 or 10 minutes. At 84 degrees outside, your car gets to 98 degrees inside the car. 90 degrees, it's 108.
Wow.
95 degrees, 113, 110. I haven't seen 110 degrees outside anyway here in Minnesota. I'm sure it gets out, you know, in Arizona and other places of the world. 123 degrees in a car. And this goes for your kids too. Every year we hear about people leaving their kids in the car too. So
there's two or three things that happen every year and we just shake our head.
Mm-hmm.
Ice houses and trucks going into the...
This is Mike Moen from Wisconsin News Connection. You may have heard my stories on civic media. Wisconsin News Connection is surveying listeners to learn how to better report on issues important to you. Go to WISNewsSurvey.com, fill it out, and you'll be entered to win a $50 Target gift card. Once again, WISNewsSurvey.com to help improve the news and enter to win a $50 Target gift card. Thanks, and we look forward to your response at WISNewsSurvey.com.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is,
you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.